Faith in a fairy tale, Lord, that You've given us so many proofs, so much evidence, so many fulfilled prophecies, so many warnings, so many specifics. We know, Jesus, that you are coming soon. Before that, we know the world's going to get worse. And they're going to be here. But Lord, we're going to be a light for you. Because our eyes are open. Our eyes are open to the truth of your Bible. Our eyes are open to the truth. What's going on around us. How Satan is operating. We know what is going to happen. I thank you for being one of your children that God has truly opened my eyes and you're opening more and more people's eyes. Continue that, Lord, we pray. We pray for revival. We pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pray for a great move of God in this dark time. And as days get darker, we pray for your glory to be seen. We pray this today, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. You may be seated this morning. We welcome those of you. Latter-day Saint church members here, our extended church members out there, different parts of Canada, all over the world, all over the U.S., we welcome you this morning to Fire and Grace Church. We welcome you even if you're bitter, mean, unbelieving, heathen. We welcome you this morning. Amen? Had two of those this week. It's been an interesting week, to say the least. I'm going to share a few little testimonies with you, but before, I want you to go ahead and turn to the Gospel of John. We're going to go to chapter 9. I'm entitled this message today, Born Blind. Born Blind. You'll see why in a minute. But before we get into this part of it, I just want to say that I sense in my spirit from the Lord that he is beginning to move in a fresh way. I sense a change in the spiritual atmosphere and climate. I believe we're moving into a new season. But I also believe it has to do with our willingness to take a stand for the truth of God's word above what man says. I believe it's also a matter of prayer. I think we're beginning to answer the call individually to pray more fervently. We've been seeing some dramatic deliverances, some healings. Patrick, your testimony, Nancy's testimony a few weeks ago touched a lot of people's lives, and very soon the rest of you are going to give you an opportunity to share your testimonies as well, because we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives, we're willing to death. We're willing to die for this. Amen? The blood of the Lamb, our testimony, and we're willing to die for what we believe. That's how we overcome. We're not afraid. We're not ashamed of any part of what Jesus has said, what the Bible says, from Genesis to the maps, as we say. Amen? I am unashamed, fully persuaded that God is moving in a special way. I want to tell you about this week real quick. We had an interesting week. Of course, I'll go back to yesterday, but a week ago, I did an interview, two-hour interview on the radio. Sean Caron, Liberty, Awakening Liberty show he does on Truth Frequency Radio. I did it really well. And I took part of that interview, just a little segment, and I made a video with some visual aids, about a 13-minute video, and put it on YouTube. Right now, we're approaching 10,000 views. 4 days on that. And I'm talking about not just Christians watching this. I'm talking about unsaved people. It's impacting unsaved people. Now, some of them is bringing out their venom, but I've spent the week pretty much trying to keep up with all the comments, questions, and attacks and everything else that's come through. But I want to tell you, you want to talk about witnessing. I don't know how a little church like ours is really, weekly, I mean, it's really over 10,000 people when you consider the radio show, the podcast, Blog Talk Radio. It's really blowing my mind. So that was Saturday. I put the video up on Tuesday night. It's entitled, The Bible Does Say Flat Earth. and it's just blowing up all over the place. And I know there's a lot of Christians out there still having a problem with that issue, but we'll address that even further in the days ahead. And God is moving. So that was on Saturday, and of course we had church Sunday, and then Monday we were on a Skype call to some friends of ours, I guess I would say extended church family that live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And got one of the most, it was one of the most awesome testimonies in a while. And this ought to challenge our local Fire and Grace Church. Because this family, they've been listening for, about 2 years now, something like that. And, I've shared at different times the testimonies, how God's moving, how they learned about, they were, sweet little Baptist people. And then they started learning about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and casting out demons. And, of course, that made them have to change churches there in Canada. And then what's really been neat, though, is the wife, her mother, 76 years old, she's been listening to our services and messages and teaching all that time, too. And she's gotten fired up for the Lord. And so she's begun to, she started believing in that Jesus still heals, that Jesus still delivers, that Jesus hasn't changed, the word is true. Been taking a stand. I mean, she's in this very traditional Baptist church, and she's been taking a stand in her little women's group against once saved, always saved, and all these things that they've chosen not to believe that's in the Bible, right? What's amazing is this woman has had a lot of, and in the Skype call, we found this out, that the mother has had a lot of physical problems her entire life. And then they found out that she didn't even pray for herself. Let me just say right now, it's not wrong to pray for yourself, okay? My Lord, if you don't pray for yourself, don't expect anybody else to. If that's what you're trying to live off of, somebody else praying for you, you're going to be in trouble. You better pray for yourself and pray for other people. God doesn't mind. I assure you. He doesn't mind you praying for yourself. So she was able to pray for herself. So she had a lot of physical problems. And she's never been through deliverance, and she was kind of resisting that a little bit about a Christian having a demon and needing deliverance for healing or freedom. But she's come along, 76 years old in the Baptist church all these years. She's come a long way, right? Well, what's cool about this, we found out that she has such bad problems in her knees that I guess just deterioration, arthritis, I don't know. But she was on the Canadian socialized medicine list to get knee replacements, but she's been on it for a couple of years, 2 years. And her knees were so bad that they were beginning to bend backwards. It took her about 10 minutes to get in and out of the car. She couldn't walk upstairs. They had to get her an apartment on a ground level because she couldn't go upstairs. And this lady's been in this church, this little Baptist church up there in Nova Scotia for a long time. And so her and her daughter had a little conversation about, the need for deliverance and healing and, that she really didn't need the surgery, the knee replacements. So, Mom, as parents, we normally don't like to hear our children kind of instructing us. So, Mom goes, well, that's fine. The Lord's spoken to you about it. Why hasn't he spoken to me? That's kind of like, it's my need. Why hasn't he spoken to me? So I love it that Rhonda said, okay, Mom. I'm not saying another word. You're right. That's the good honor of your father and mother, no matter what age you are, right? That's right, Mom. You're right. So this sweet lady gets up every morning, and this ought to shame some of you, gets up every morning with her health problems and her bad knees and spends 2 hours in the Word of God in prayer. You want to know why sometimes God's not doing what you'd like him to do? Maybe you're not spending time with him. So anyway, she gets up this one morning and she says, Lord, she's reading the Bible. She says, Lord, if this is you, talking about this healing thing, if this is you about my knees, then I pray for you to heal me. I ask you to heal me. And see, God had built faith up in her. She'd been listening to hearing the word. And she finally decided to believe it. And she finally decided to ask. And that was all she had to do. Now, what's funny about this, he said her knees started tingling. Right? So in her mind, this is how full of unbelief, most of us are, you know, and have to fight unbelief. She thought, oh, Lord, what, something else going on. Right? So she sits there for a few more minutes, finishing her prayer time, her Bible reading time. And then she stands up. She notices her knees aren't hurting anymore. And then for the first time in years, she squats down and touches the ground and stands back up. And then she goes to visit her daughter. She walks in, and Rhonda tells her she's trying to get ready. You know, she normally walked with a cane. Everybody knew. I mean, she was basically crippled, right? And everybody in the town and everybody in church knows. And she walks in, and so Rhonda says she's running around trying to get ready, and she's not really paying attention. And the mom goes, did you notice something different? And she goes, well, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, did she get her hair done? Did she get her hair cut? Well, what am I thinking, you know? And finally, she goes, oh, yeah. And she squats down in front of her and touches the ground and back up. Now, this sweet Christian lady sharing this in her church, it's really turning things upside down. All right, she's going on walks and going and touring lighthouses, walking up steps. And I just want to say, I just had to share that. Jesus has not changed. He still makes the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He can still make cancer disappear, drive out demons out of us, save us, wash our sins away, take away the depression. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Hebrews tells us. And I don't know that that's for somebody out there. I know this, and Jesus hasn't changed. But all things in the kingdom of God operate on faith. You must believe it in your heart first. You must believe what the Word of God says first. Believe it in your heart. You speak it with your mouth, and then you take actions upon it, and things will happen in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen? And if you start taking some steps, you know, all of us in here, we need to start taking some steps about what we believe, either speaking and sharing the word or some truth or some scripture or something with somebody, or praying for somebody when they're sick or even crippled or struggling or casting a demon out of somebody. You've got to step out and do it. You can't just say, I believe it, or I read it in the Bible. You've got to step out and do it. And I promise you, you say, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, guess what? We don't always know the reasons why if something doesn't happen. We just dig back in and go, okay, God, show me what I need to do better. But I'm just telling you, there's an anointing, there's an anointing and a glory from God that's increasing, I believe, to break people out of spiritual blindness, to break Christians out of spiritual blindness. There's a lot of Christians spiritually blind. To break demons off of people and to see people healed miraculously. And I believe more and more in the days ahead, God is going to confirm his word with signs and wonders following. And I believe through this church, too. And those of you out there listening. Now, that was just Monday. We received that testimony. Then, a few days later, we're speaking with another friend of ours. Again, they listen regularly, been listening for, I don't know, a year or two. On the other side of Canada. I mean, extreme, one end to the other. And this precious couple, she called distraught. She wanted to talk to us, distraught. I won't go into all the details. But she's been trying to help this particular person for a long time. And minister to this person and try to, you know, take them through deliverance and counsel them and basically disciple them. But really come to find out, the girl was a bitch. And she began to explain all this oppression and torment and all this health problems she's having and all this stuff going on in her home. And Nancy and I are sitting there just listening to it, and it was like, and I already suspected she was a bitch anyway. So I just told her, she's a witch. And I tell you, all these curses are broken off of you that she's put on you, that you gave her access to your home and everything else. I said, until you break these curses off of you, you're not going to be fit. Because she's put all kinds of hexes and spells and curses on you, and you basically gave the legal right to do so. What is amazing is most Christians would go, you're crazy. She was like, okay. I said, and it don't take long before we get off. We're on Skype, call again. So we prayed in the name of Jesus, and we broke off curses, death curses, voodoo, hexes, spells, incantations. You name it. We started breaking curses off of this woman in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, we got off the phone call. It wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't even an hour later. We started getting messages of how free she was, how powerful she had been set free, how God began to move. There was some money like being held back that they needed to move. And it says that almost right after you broke all those curses off in Jesus' name, got a phone call and all that money came in. I mean, she was just overwhelmed. So what I'm saying is we the Christians, you have to understand, we have power. We have power in the name of Jesus. And especially if you're Holy Ghost filled. Right? Praying in tongues. These signs, Jesus said it, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. You will cast out demons. You will speak with new tongues. You will take up serpents. That literally means you will bind demons and have authority. Use that authority against them. He says you will, if you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you, and you will lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Mark 16:15-20. That's what it said. And it said after Jesus spoke that to his disciples, he says, they went out everywhere preaching the word, and God confirmed the word with signs following. Amen? Jesus is the Savior, the Healer, the Baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and the soon-coming King. Amen? Now, I want to talk to you today a little bit about this being born blind. Born blind, all right? I probably going to get to the scripture. Let's read. Let's go to John chapter 9. There's some things the Lord wants me to bring out to you today from this. Hopefully I won't keep you for 2 hours. Let's read. We're going to read this whole story. So John, Gospel of John chapter 9 verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. So Jesus spat on the ground, took some that spit and that dirt and made clay. It says, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore. He acted on what Jesus said. Right? And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which were before him had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he, and others said, he is like him. Well, I love when God moves the excuses that begin to come from the people who are in unbelief. And I'm talking about people who should know better. Christians, right? Unbelief is a terrible thing. And so, verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. And they say unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees. Uh-oh. They took him to church, to the religious folk, to the educated religious folk, right? They think they're educated. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him. Oh, well, let me back up. Verse 13. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, now listen to this, listen to these religious leaders. This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. There's always going to be division when you stand for God. There's always going to be a division when you operate in faith, when you believe in the supernatural, when you take steps to stand for the truth. If Jesus, the perfect one, the sinless one, the holy one, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, if he could heal a blind man and still get grief and division and accusation, what do you think we're going to get? Right? This today is part of this message. You do need to expect that you're going to get persecution, not just from the outside, heathen, God-hating world, but you're going to get opposition from religious Christians who think they know, who think they have knowledge of the Bible, an education. Maybe they have a degree in seminary, and they think they know better than you. But they have no power, no experience, no anointing, nothing upon them but to criticize someone actually operating in the power of God, experiencing. I was reading this last night again, just thinking, this is Jesus, right? Now remember, the Pharisees knew the scriptures, the prophecies about the Messiah that said he would open the eyes of the blind. Isaiah 42. No prophet had come and opened the eyes of the blind. No man of God had ever, and he even said that no man of God has ever opened the eyes of a blind man that was born blind. And Jesus is on the scene. And these men who should have known, they knew what the scripture said, but they still were blind. They were more blind than the blind man. And they can't see. The Messiah is in front of you. He's opening the eyes of the blind. The crippled are walking. The dead are being raised. He's telling you things, mysteries of God have been kept secret since the foundation of the world. And you say, he's not of God. Folks, just this week, I had people come on in, ministers come on this YouTube channel, preachers with PhDs, and I'm like, I could not believe how blind and ignorant to the Bible that they are. It's amazing. Let's keep reading. They said to verse 16, therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Boy, and then there's the, I just have to say this, there's the new Judaizers. You got to say Yahushua. If you don't, you can't even say Yeshua anymore. Not to mention Jesus. They think that's pagan. Even though I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved, delivered from demons, healed in the name of Jesus Christ, as we say it in. And I'm just so tired of this stuff. It's the insanity and the deception and the spiritual blindness is not just in the world, folks. It is in the church. It is among religious leaders. And this is really kind of the continuation of last week. I didn't plan it that way, but it's kind of is, right? But verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, the blind man said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, and they called his parents of him that had received his sight. So then they jumped to, okay, your eyes are open, you're a blind man. Well, now they don't believe. Now that you're saying he's a prophet, he's a man of God, now they don't believe. They don't believe you weren't blind. It's all a hoax. It's all a game. It's all a charade. So they said, well, let's get his parents in here and find out if he's really born blind. Right? Crazy people. Verse 19, and they asked him, saying, is this your son? Who you say was born blind. How then doth he now see? And his parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. he is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Why are you asking us? These words spake his parents, but they feared the Jews. But the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, they should be put out of the synagogue. So I'm going to tell you something. Standing for the truth, they get you put out of Sunday clubs. You get thrown out of Sunday clubs, right? Bible studies, even family gatherings. Right? Stand for truth. Stand for the truth of God's word. I don't care what truth. Pick the truth. Homosexuality is a sin and will damn you to hell. That's one. I'll get you thrown out of some meetings. Oh, I'm voting for Donald Trump because I heard a word from the Lord about it. Oh, that'll get you thrown out of some family meetings, right? Jesus can heal. Oops, can't talk about that one. Because they left with a fellowship from among the Baptists. A Christian having a demon? Oh, my Lord. That can't happen. Then why is your counseling telling this fool, Pastor? And nothing ever gets any better. All right? Oh, hurt some feelings out there. Let's keep going. His parents were scared they'd get thrown out of the synagogue. Yeah. Some people, you need to get thrown out of your synagogue. The best thing that ever happened to you for some of you to get kicked out of the churches that you're in. It really would be great. But anyway, verse 23. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now he's gone from being not of God to being a sinner. Wow. These people are geniuses. They don't even know, right? But, you know, Jesus didn't keep their Sabbath the way they thought, so he couldn't be of God. That's what religious folks are. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And they said unto him, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? So when he said, I've told you, you bunch of blind, rebellious, stubborn, religious leaders, I've told you how he did it. I've told you who did it. If I tell you again, will you submit to him? And this is something some of you need to understand. Once you buck up against these religious, indoctrinated, blind Christians that want to stay in their unbelief, tell them once or twice and move on. Right? I'm not going to keep telling you. Hard head. Go enjoy your lifeless, dead, empty, depressed, demonized, no supernatural form of Christianity that denies the power. You go have fun with that. The Bible tells me to turn away from that. Now, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed, folks, to say that most, and I will say the vast majority right now, of churches in America and across the world have a form of godliness. They have a form of religion. They have a form of Christianity. But they deny, reject, disavow the power, dunamis, of the Holy Ghost. And God says, from that, turn away. That's 2 Timothy 3, 5. Right? 5 through 7. Turn away from that. And the dunamis, the word dunamis in the Greek means the miraculous power of God through the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want a Christianity that has no power, no anointing, no signs and wonders, no miracles, no freedom, no peace. Why would anybody want that? Why would anybody stay in that? There's so much more. And somebody said, well, now this is Jesus healing the blind man. This don't do that today. This is a wonder. John 13, 12. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, actually said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than me. Don't tell me that. Jesus told them to go out and do what he did. I love what Paul said, Philippians chapter 4. He said, the things you've seen in me and heard in me, do, and God of peace will be with you. Well, the Apostle Paul went out and preached the gospel to the unsaved. He went out to the world. He went into the synagogues and preached to the religious hardheads. He went out and preached Jesus. Jesus is our Savior through the cross and his resurrection. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer from demons. Paul went out and cast out demons and healed the sick and preached the gospel and led people to Jesus and discipled new believers. Paul went out and did the supernatural. Through him, the crippled walk. The deaf would hear. Miracles would happen. Demons would leave people. Paul said, the things you've seen in me and heard in me, do. I believe it's verse 9. Somebody check me on that. Philippians 4, 9. Isn't that it? I'm pretty sure that's it. Part of my message this morning. But so both Jesus said, what you've seen me do, you do. Paul said, what you've seen me do, you should do. Pretty clear, right? Yep, it is flipping for me. So let's keep reading. So the blind man said, he answered him, I've told you already. And you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you be his disciples? And it says, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. You know what that is? Oh, you're one of those Pentecostals and them Baptists. Oh, you're one of those Pentecostals, them Methodists. You're one of those Pentecostals. And we're Presbyterian. We don't do that. We're the frozen chosen. Believe me, I know a church in Montgomery, Presbyterian Church, calls themselves proudly the Frozen Chosen. So I'm not making that up. Big church set up on Vaughn Road in Montgomery, Alabama. No. I love that. You're his disciple. But we follow Moses. Yeah? That's fine. They didn't even follow Moses. They thought they did. That's what's so sad. Let's keep going. They said, verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And then the blind man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that is born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Oh, Lord, the blind man done started preaching. And guess what? He didn't go to their schools. He's not in their club. He's not in their religious synagogue or church. And listen to what these heathens say, these religious heathens. They answered him and said, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out, like they weren't born in sin. Religion. When you see somebody operating the spirit of religion, the spirit of a Pharisee, it's always, I'm better than you. You can't teach me. Who are you to teach me? And what you are, sir, is you're the blind leading the blind. I love it. There was an old song back from the 70s, Christian song. It just had this one line in it about the religious leaders called an educated fool. Educated fools. You can be an educated fool. You can have all the education in the world and be blind to Jesus and the truth of God's word. Let's keep reading. So they told him he was born in sin. He couldn't preach to them. Verse 35, Jesus heard that he had been cast out, that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said, and dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. What does he say? And you guys claim to see. You claim to know the scriptures. You claim to follow Moses and the prophets. But you don't. You can't even recognize all the prophecies that point, Jesus is saying, that point to me as your Messiah. You can't even see when I heal the blind, raise the dead, cast out the demons. You cast out demons, they say, you're casting out demons by Beelzebub, the chief of the demons. I mean, this is Mark chapter 2 when Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And there comes in a man with a withered hand, probably from the palsy. He comes in with a withered hand. And Jesus looks at these religious people. All these people who, and when I say religious, I mean they weren't in the right religion. They weren't in Buddhism or Hinduism or Egyptian gods and all that, or Babylonian gods. They were worshiping Jehovah. They were in a synagogue, a Jewish synagogue. They read the scriptures every Sabbath day. They read through the scriptures. And this man is in there. And Jesus is saying, he said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? I love Jesus just trapping them in their religion. Huh? And it says they held their peace. They didn't answer his question. And this is probably one of the most overlooked passages in that little story in Mark 2. It says Jesus looked on them with anger. Listen, if I sin with a little anger sometimes, I'm not angry at people who are hungry for the truth. I'm angry at people who are getting in the way of them finding it. Or lying to them or deceiving them. But Jesus looks, it says he looked around about on them with anger. And this is what I love. Jesus didn't let their religion, their spirit of religion, their pride, their traditions of men stop him. He told the man, come here. Stretch forth your hand. And he was made whole. Just like that. And it says immediately they wanted to kill him. The religious people will always want to kill him. Well, you see, there's such a spirit of religion within Islam. But Jesus made this statement in Matthew 24. He said, know this, in the days ahead, in the last days, there will come a time when you will be betrayed. And you can't be betrayed by an enemy from without. That's not betrayal. That's an attack. You are betrayed from someone within that you trusted. That's a betrayal. There are going to be Christians who do not believe the Bible, who are blind leaders of the blind, who are going to turn on true Christians that stand for what God's word says. And the biggest thing, the biggest battle is going to be over is the word of God, the Bible, the inspired, infallible, God-breathed, every word from God. That's the battle. I'm finding out most don't believe it. Most Christians. These two preachers that came at me this past week, they're the Bible students. And basically their only arguments against what I presented in the video, the scriptures and the Hebrew and Greek definitions that I gave and breaking down the context. I mean, I don't know how better to do it. You know what they said? Well, the Bible, you know, those descriptions of how the shape of the earth and how the cosmos is created and how it operates, and all of that's just euphemisms and idioms and metaphors. It's not really
mean what it says. One guy told me, you know, Job says God, the stars sing. He goes, that doesn't mean the stars sing. They would have to have a mouth and, you know, vocal cords. And I'm sitting there going, buddy, if God said
sing.
The stars sing, they sing. Right? And saying they have to have a mouth and vocal cords is just a straw man argument to try to throw things off. They don't have to have anything. They may have something completely different. We don't even know what they are. Most people think they're balls of fire in the sky, and they're not. They're really angels. They really are. They're luminaries. They're living. The star fall from heaven with a key and open in the bottomless pit. What is that? He'd have to have hands and feet and legs. Maybe he does. I don't understand so-called preachers and theologians and Bible college graduates who basically try to explain away the supernatural elements within the Bible. And now what they're doing, they try to explain away God's descriptions and you know, 100 verses plus of the nature of the cosmos and the shape of the earth and all of that. They try to explain that away as metaphors and euphemisms and idioms. They don't even believe it, folks. They don't believe the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, I don't care what degree you have hanging on the wall. Guess what? I have a PhD as well. I don't advertise it. Big whoop. Who cares? All that matters is that you walk in the truth of Scripture. You believe every word is God-breathed, and you're led by the Holy Ghost, and you have some Holy Ghost power upon you. That's all that matters. Amen? I wouldn't give a plug nickel for a man that had 15 PhDs if he had no anointing and he didn't know how and he didn't believe the Bible or parts of it. He only believed the parts he liked. You can take your hermeneutic, homiletic, and liberal theology and stick it, because that's what it's worth. That's what it smells like to you. Bravo, Sierra. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's an abbreviation for bovine excrement. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, bro. And you know, preaching this, I'm going to tell you, I have more peace, more joy. Because it's the truth. God says in the scriptures, he says the earth's flat, it's flat. He says it's covered by a glass dome, it's covered by a glass dome. He says heaven is above and earth and hell is beneath, that's the way it is. Sorry, that doesn't work for the Australians on the ball, right? Poor Australians, we love you. They listen too. Christian having a demon? Seen too many of them with demons. Amen, Patrick? And seen freedom after casting them out. Amen? You know what I love? These religious folks, these PhDs, these theologians, they want to tell me, for instance, a Christian can't have a demon, and yet they've never cast a demon out of anybody. Don't tell me that. Ice cream salesman trying to tell me to work on my cars, what that looks like. Right? You don't know what you're talking about. Let me find somebody who knows what they're talking about. You know, when I wanted to learn, when I was a new believer and I wanted to learn about demonology and casting demons out of people, what did I do? I read the scriptures, number one, studied the scriptures, and number two, found people that actually were doing it. Novel idea. Right? We'll learn how to lead somebody to Jesus, how to be, you know, a witness. You want to read the scriptures, study the scriptures, and then you want to find somebody that knows how to do it. Right? Learn from them. No need to reinvent the wheel. What are we going to do when it comes to go out and for truth? I mean, when it comes down to this flat earth stuff and God's description of the earth and the heavens and the firmament and all that, when it comes down to all that, I mean, really, who are you? Are you going to take the world's word for it, or are you going to take God's word for it? I just don't understand Christians that want to filter their belief system through the world system. And in these days, listen to me, in these days that are ahead of us, you better believe that Jesus is a healer. We're going to be shut out of the medical field. We're going to be shut out of going to hospitals and doctors, because you're going to have a chip in your hand or your forehead to be able to go to a doctor. What are you going to do when you get sick or somebody has an accident or there's a crisis and you can't run to the doctor? It's already happening. Our friends that Kevin and I and Patrick used to work for, the company, GTR, Steve posted on Facebook that his insurance just went up to $900 a month with a deductible of $13,000. And he has to have a second insurance policy to cover what the first one doesn't cover. Obama and the Democrats and the Republicans that voted, they have screwed up. And they're pushing us to the point you cannot afford it, but then they're telling you, mandated by law, you have to have it. I mean, what do you think that is? That's bondage, man. There comes a point where, like us, we've said, no. We're done. I can't pay $900 a month. No. Guess what? My insurance policy is Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. Right? By his stripes we were healed. Amen? Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, but folks, you understand what I'm saying. There comes a point here. You're going to have to stand by faith. You're going to have to believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're going to have to believe and operate such. Amen? Paul didn't have a doctor to run to. I know everybody talking about, well, Luke was a doctor. Yeah, he was a doctor, but do you understand what medicine was back then? They didn't know squat. I mean, think about it. The day is coming here soon that no man may be able to buy or sell unless he takes the mark of the beast. That's going to be a pledge of allegiance. That's going to be a submitting to a governmental system. And if you refuse, it means no economic access. So how are you going to go pay a doctor? If you had the money, how are you going to pay a doctor? If you don't put that mark of the beast in your hand before, what are you going to do? Some of you can't even say no to vaccines right now. You know they're tainted, polluted, evil crap they're putting in. You won't even say no. You're afraid. You're afraid of the system. Quit being afraid. Listen, I'm going to just tell you right now. All of the governments of the world are morphing into the Antichrist beast. When are you going to stop submitting to them? Now? A week from now? A month from now? A year from now? When are you going to finally say no? You're not going to poison me, my child, my family. You're not putting anything in my body that I don't know what it is. We're too close to the end. You're not putting a chip in my hand and my forehead. We are coming to the point where the beast world government, the system, is going to demand that we submit in every area. Not going to do it. As for me and my house, we've already made up our mind. Amen? And if they want to fight, they're going to have to fight me and God, because he's on my side. That's why you need to be on God's side, right? Can't be in the middle. Can't be on the other side. God be for us. Who can be against us? like I said, even last week, whoa, be to the army that comes after me if it's not my time to go. God wiped out armies of a million men coming against Israel. A million. I mean, you think about that. Desert Storm, we had 500,000 troops, half a million, to fight Saddam. Israel was surrounded at one point by a million soldiers. And you know what they did? Old Jehoshaphat. He said, Lord, this force is too much for us. We don't know what to do. So he said he fasted and he prayed. And as they fasted for 3 days and they prayed, a prophet stood up among them and said, send out the praise team first. That makes a lot of sense. Send out the praise team against a million-man army. All right? Jehoshaphat said, believe God, believe his prophets, and you will prosper. That's what he said. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And what happened? And the praisers began to praise the Lord of creation, Yahweh, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When they began to praise his name, said God set ambushments against the enemy, began to kill them, began to have them kill each other, drove them away from that place like whipped dogs. And all Israel had to go out and do was take all their stuff that was left behind. Didn't have to fight a lick. Just gathered up the gold and the jewels and the food and the horses and the cattle and the weapons. It's ours now. God is Almighty, our God. He's the one true God. His name is not Allah. It is Yahweh. And the name above every name. He has many names. But the name above every name is Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the name of God. Out of all the names, the name that he has lifted up above all his names. Philippians. Isn't that what Philippians 2 says? Because Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross, that he has been exalted and given the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. We serve a wonderful, merciful God. Here's the good news. I'm going to finish with this. The good news is though the day is coming where he will judge the wicked, the sinners, the unbelievers, he will judge the world in righteousness. He's coming. He will be the judge. I was going back and forth with this one lady, and it's up public. Her name's Charlie. Charlie says she... You know, she arguing her little theological points and trying to accuse God of injustice and all these things, and twist scriptures and take them out of context. And the sad thing is, you know, I kept giving her truth and sharing the gospel with her. And come to find out, she says, well, you know, I used to believe that for 40 years. And I went, well, I hope you come home before it's too late. I said, you will stand before God, the Creator. You will stand before him one day, and he will either be your Savior or your judge. Heaven and hell for eternity is what is or will be the consequences of that judgment. But God said he doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He wants all men and women to come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and believe. And just stop being wicked. Stop sinning. Stop living for yourself. It's not complicated. Stop doing the things that make you miserable and destroy you and hurt others anyway. It's what sin does. I mean, anybody in here? Did drunkenness and alcoholism help any of us that did it? Drugs. Sexual sin, witchcraft, pharmakeia, the legal medicine.
Didn't help us.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father in heaven, will go to heaven without knowing him, walking with him, believing in him, following him. It's that simple.
There is no excuse. God said that the revelations of creation, the fact there is a creation, the fact there's a creation, he said, that's left man without excuse. There's no excuse. Then he gives us his Bible and reveals things to us, gives us all these prophecies to show that his word is true, undeniable, and yet people still throw it to the side. Well, the day is coming. This glass sky is going to crack open. He's going to roll it back. He's going to part it asunder. And every eye will see him. And those who chose to reject him will still be wicked, to follow the Antichrist, to follow their own path. It says they will run to the caves and the dens and the mountains of the earth to hide us. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. That doesn't have to be. That day for you, if you walk with him and believe in him and follow him, that day for you will be the day he says, come up here and be with me. That's the good news. All you have to do to be forgiven is confess your sins to the Lord Jesus, ask him to forgive you, and to wash them away by his blood that was shed on the cross, and believe that he rose from the dead the third day. He's alive forevermore. And let him be your Savior and your Lord and your healer and your deliverer and your truth. He is the Logos, the living word. And he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So wait a minute, heaven and earth. Not heaven. Where God is, he's talking about that sky, heaven, going to be moved out of the way. We're going to talk about that soon. The day the sky falls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. God, I sense your spirit here. I know, God, that you are moving upon people here and those watching and listening. I pray that many would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior before it's too late. That you would convict them of sin, that you would give them the grace and the strength and the power to walk away from sexual immorality, drugs, alcohol, unbelief, false religion, dead religion, dead churches. Pride, Lord, bring them out of that darkness, out of that sin, to find the peace and the forgiveness and the joy and the salvation that you have, that we've found, Lord. That I think people talk about, you believe in fairy tales, so many of these unbelievers, you believe in fairy tales. Well, that fairy tale changed my whole life, set me free from the powers of darkness, healed my body, delivered my mind. Awful powerful for a fairy tale. Lord, we thank you for that. You are coming in yet. So I ask you to bless your people and touch those and bring them out of darkness into your marvelous light. We pray it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Trust me, there are people listening out there. We're finding out. Unsaved people, backsliders, people that have fallen away from God and gone into drug addiction, are putting their drugs down just simply from hearing the true gospel of Jesus Christ preached. I love what Paul said. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is
the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. Amen. All right. Time for us to get out of here. Kevin, would you pray over the offering? If you have a tither offering this morning, just leave it in the basket before you leave.